again, for those of you who have not been with us previously, we began this study actually the last week of December, where what we were doing is looking at, we had 6 days before the new year began, and what we did was focus on the fact that the world was created in 6 days, okay, and on the seventh day, God rested, right? Okay, so what we were doing is in those 6 days, we were focusing on each day being a day of creation to put together our own 2022 spiritual growth plan concerning each of those topics for one for each of those 6 days, okay? So there are six particular personal areas of spiritual growth that really are intended to help us individually to grow and thus helping us as a church, as a congregation to grow. And that's what we've been doing in this study. So this morning, we're going to be looking at evangelism. Growing personally in the area of sharing the gospel with other people. Okay? What are some things that we need to think about? And what I've been doing through this, and when we did this, for those of you who are with us the first time, when we did this, I gave out these little notebooks and gave out the topics for each day of those 6 days. And the suggestion was, take and make your own personal plan for spiritual growth in each of these areas. And what I'm doing in these lessons is sharing some things that came to my mind as I was working on my own personal spiritual growth plan concerning each of these things. So that's what I'm going to share with you today. Maybe to encourage you and lift you up and keep you going and working on your own personal spiritual growth plan. So we're talking about evangelism, and we start by talking about shame. Shame, 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 okay? How many of you have ever had these pointed at you, okay? When I was a kid, I'm going to tell you what, my mom knew how to make me feel shame. She used to, when I'd come in, I'd been out playing, and I'd been, you know, when I played, I'm going to tell you, I played rough, okay? And there were times when I would come home, and I'd be covered with dirt because I was rolling in the dirt. I'd have knees, you know, holes in the knees of my pants, and my mama had one word for me, okay? She'd call me a ruffian, okay? You're a ruffian is what you are. And shame on you. Look at you. And her concern was what other people were going to think. Okay? And so, you know, probably most of you at one point in your life or another have had somebody maybe do that to you, right? Everybody, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay? Okay. Here's what shame really is all about. Okay? Definition. A painful emotion. Yeah, it is. Okay? Caused by consciousness of guilt. And again, my mom knew how to do that. Okay? Or some shortcoming or impropriety. I was always being improprietary, okay, when I was a kid. Because she was off doing that to me a lot of times, all right? Even dogs can't escape feeling the shame, okay? This poor pooch finds himself in the box of shame. Because I guess it says he threw up, all right? You know, everybody faces shame at one point in their life. So shame, shame on you. But here's the thought. There are a lot of church people that are ashamed of the gospel today. Okay? There really are. To them, the Bible is embarrassing. For some of the things that it teaches, for some of the things that it says. We have a whole lot of what are referred to as closet Christians, okay? That really don't want the folks that they work with, they don't want their neighbors and all to know that they are Christians. Okay? Because then that would require some changes in their life. And oftentimes, some of those church people will twist the Bible to simply make it more acceptable so their friends won't turn them away. Okay? Because they're ashamed. the Apostle Paul. We turn to the text that was read for us as we began. The Apostle Paul, even in the capital of the Roman Empire, okay, was not ashamed of the gospel. Okay? I am not ashamed of the gospel, he said. Why? Because it is the power of God unto the salvation of everyone who believes. Paul recognized the power of the gospel to save people's souls. And that's what the gospel really is all about. It's the good news, okay? And that good news is you can be saved from your sins. And Paul declares that he was not ashamed of that gospel. And he would not suppress that power in order to get along with people. You don't believe that? Just go and read what the Bible tells us that Paul went through in order to share that gospel with as many people as he could. The opposition that he faced over and over and over again. But he was not going to compromise the truth of the gospel for anyone. Okay? Are we ashamed of God's morals, judgments, and commands? That's an important question today because, you know, there are a lot of church people that are. You know, some things in the Bible we just don't want to talk about because folks don't like to hear that stuff. But Jesus tells us very plainly, if we're ashamed of Him and His Word, then He will be ashamed of us. Okay? So we need to decide. Where do we want to stand with the gospel? And so one of the things that I really focused on as I was preparing this part of my personal growth plan and spiritual growth was that I need to never, ever apologize for the truth of God's Word. And I will not do that. Let's talk secondly about the importance of everything. Okay? Is everything really important? Is it? Some things not as important as other things, are they? Yeah. But there's one case where everything really is important. Okay? We talk about, if I can get this thing to go, here we go, the Great Commission. All right? Now, when we talk about the Great Commission, usually what comes to mind is Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. That's the text that we generally associate with the Great Commission. Right? Jesus tells His disciples, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So when we think of the Great Commission, that's usually where we go. But did you realize that there are other texts that give us some, shed some light on this Great Commission and what Jesus has told us to do? For instance, Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, where Mark records for us that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized is saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Mark records for us in verse 19 that soon after Jesus had spoken those words to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. So here's something to keep in mind. When we look at and consider the Great Commission, what we're looking at is some of the very last words of Jesus, okay? Luke records for us this, that while he was blessing them, Jesus had given his disciples a blessing, and he says, while he was blessing them, he was taken up into heaven. In Luke's other book, y'all know what that is, right? The book of Acts. Luke records for us these statements of Jesus that are all from that same time. Okay? Just before Jesus is taken up into heaven. where he says to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. So here's another statement concerning the Great Commission. Now, someone would say, well, but wait a minute, there's three different places where it's talked about, and each one is different. Which one are we supposed to believe? The answer is all of them, you say. Each person recorded something different that Jesus said about the same time. That's not really that difficult to understand, is it? You say, all of these things were said to his disciples just before he was taken up into heaven. So there are several statements concerning the Great Commission, aren't there? But I want to go back to the one that we typically think about, and I want us to notice one important word. Okay? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Everything. Not just the parts that we like, not just the parts that, you know, well, we think, well, they'll accept this. They'll be comfortable with this. No, he says everything. And so our obligation in obeying, are you listening to me? In obeying the Great Commission is that we are to teach everything. You say, the whole command of God. Right? But here's a problem. As it says here, most people don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. Now think about that a moment. Let that sink in, because I find that to be very true. You see? I've decided here's what the Bible really says to me. You know, people add that on there? Maybe you've done that before. We don't get to kind of pick and choose which parts we like, which parts we're going to obey, which parts we're going to follow, which parts we're going to teach. Say, we need to do it all. Okay? We need to teach all of it, even the unpopular parts. And the reason for that is, if we understand what Paul said, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, if we're not willing to teach all of it, then we are risking someone's soul. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way. But if we only tell them the parts that they want to hear, the parts that are easy, the parts that they like, then we're risking them losing their souls because they haven't really accepted the whole gospel. And that's why it's important that we're willing to teach everything that Jesus commanded us. Okay? The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, gave him a warning. Okay? And teaching the right things. And teaching everything. And here's what he said. And he said, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. And that's what it's about. We're all going to be facing judgment. And so therefore, we need to in view of his appearing and his kingdom, he's talking about the salvation of souls, he says, I give you this charge, preach the word.
Amen.
Be prepared. Some translations say instant. I like that. Be instant, in season and out of season.
Amen.
Brother Marshall Keeble used to say that means when they like it and when they don't like it. You see? He says, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So there's going to be a time that's coming when men will not put up with sound doctrine. You preach the word. Okay? Finally, let's talk about thinning out the herds. Okay? I don't know if all of you can see that, read that or not. He's got that thinning the herd look again. You see God standing there with that lightning bolt. Well, what is that really all about? Well, it's the idea about this, that Jesus, if you look at what Jesus taught, okay, he taught in such a way as to eliminate those who would be fans of his. All right? Because Jesus did not want fans, he wants followers. And so what Jesus did was he taught in a way to cause those who were just going to be fans to stop following him. How do I know that? Well, let me ask you a question. What is, as far as you're concerned, what is the number one globally recognized, I'm talking worldwide, the number one iconic symbol for a business today? Anybody know what that is? Number one, when people see this symbol, they know exactly what that represents. Anybody know? The golden arches. The golden arches for McDonald's. Everybody worldwide recognizes the golden arches. They know when they see those golden arches, they can go there and get a terrible hamburger. No, I'm just kidding. That they know what that means. And so companies like Ford and Chevrolet and Mercedes-Benz, they have a symbol, don't they?
Yeah.
And people recognize their symbol, and that's what companies do. And the reason they have those symbols and those images is so that people will recognize their company and do what? And come and do business with them. So those signs and logos and things of that nature are intended to draw people to them. You know what Jesus' sign was? It was a cross. A cross. Those of you who have been here, you know I talk about this all the time. For those of you who are visiting with us, understand, this is how I try to get people to understand this. When Jesus called people to follow him, look at what he says. If you want to be my disciple, okay, what do you have to do? You have got to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Now, here's the thing. Just like the golden arches today are worldwide recognized for what they stand for, the cross in Jesus' day was worldwide recognized for what it stood for, and it stood for death.
Amen.
That's the only thing that a cross was used for in Jesus' day. And by the way, the whole idea of people that today we talk about, well, this is just a cross I have to bear, referring to some kind of a hardship or difficulty, That's kind of the idea that, yeah, I'm dealing with this difficulty in my life right now, and hopefully I'll get to the point where I can lay down this cross and I don't have to deal with it anymore. That never happened in Jesus' day. If you carried a cross, you were carrying that cross to the place you were going to be executed on it. No, nobody carried a cross as a penalty from point A to point B and laid it down and then, okay, your fine is done, go on about your business. That's not how it worked. So everybody in Jesus' day knew what a cross meant. And so they knew when Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to be willing to die for me. Well, that was intended in part to thin out the herds. In other words, to weed out those who weren't willing to die for him. Okay? In John chapter 6, John records for us what is referred to as the discourse on the bread of life. And these are some really tough things that Jesus says to those who are listening to him. He's talking to a broad number of people here, okay? And look at what John records for us, beginning in verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" My lines are off on this. Aware of this, that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said, does this offend you? Does this offend you? What Jesus was teaching them, for some of the disciples, they was like, I can't accept this. This is too difficult of a teaching. And Jesus asked them, are you offended by this? You see? If you go down to verse 66, it tells us there that after hearing this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. The teaching was too tough. You see? Now here's one of the things that I've said many, many times in the past. I'm convinced that we can learn an awful lot by what the Bible says, but we can learn a lot also by what it doesn't say. And you know what it doesn't say right here? It doesn't say that Jesus ran after those disciples and says, wait a minute, don't leave, let's talk about this. Doesn't say that at all. You know what it does say? Jesus turned to his disciples and said, do you want to go too? You want to leave too? And Peter answered, Lord, to whom should we go? For only you have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
You see, the reality is that, yeah, there are some teachings that we find in God's word that are tough. They're tough to accept. They're tough to live by. But if we want to be true followers of Jesus, we can't just throw those aside. We've got to do everything we can to follow what he says in his word. Because those things are not optional. Okay? Another statement that Jesus made to his disciples in telling them to go out and share the gospel with other people is this statement that if you don't really understand what he's talking about here, it probably sounds kind of odd. And maybe you've read this and go, I don't understand what he's saying here. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Well, what is he talking about here? He's talking about not sharing the pearls of the gospel. Don't waste your time sharing that on people that are just going to ignore it or throw it away or will turn on you and tear you and it apart. The reality that we have to understand is that there are people in the world who are like that. They don't want to hear the message. They will trash the message and they will do disservice to you. So basically what Jesus is saying is, don't waste your time on them. You say, well, wait a minute, Russ, I thought we're supposed to share the gospel. Yes, but when we recognize that this person or these people are dogs or swine, okay, not literally, okay, you understand that, but they're not going to accept this mission, you need to pack up and move on to somebody else. In the limited commission, what is referred to as the limited commission, Jesus basically told his disciples that. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. In other words, stop wasting your time. Thin out the herds. That's what Jesus did. We need to share the gospel with as many people as we can, but we need to be careful about going about that we're not spending and wasting a whole lot of time trying to convince this person who's obstinate and mean and everything else doesn't want the word, when we could be spending that same time and energy on someone who really wants to hear it and is open to it. That's basically what his point is. And the whole point of all this is to realize that yes, Jesus himself recognized that there are people who are not going to accept his word. They're going to stop following him. That's what the whole parable of the sower is all about. You say that there are a lot of people who are going to hear the word and they don't want it. Some who will accept it and will throw it away. But that cannot stop us from continuing to share the word. That's the main point I want you to understand from this. Don't be discouraged by it. Just pick up and go on to someone else and spend your time and energy trying to share the gospel with as many people as you can. Someone doesn't want to hear it, go somewhere else, okay? Remember this, as Jesus told his disciples, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And the world will hate you as you try to share the gospel with other people, okay? But keep in mind, if the world hates you, you're in good company, okay? All right. Jesus did not beg anyone to follow him. That's another point that I really came to as I was putting these things together in my, you know, personal spiritual growth part, just realizing Jesus didn't beg people to follow him. That wasn't him. Okay? And I'm not going to beg people either. Okay? The day of the Lord is coming.
Amen.
Our job that Christ has given to us is to try to prepare as many people as possible for the day of the Lord.
Yes.
But they won't be prepared if they're not committed, first of all. Okay? And secondly, if they're not taught the whole truth. Okay? So that's our job, is to teach the whole counsel of God. All right? Wesley has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And it's an opportunity for anyone to be able to come and let us know if you have a prayer need that you'd like for us to lift before the Lord. If you've got something going on in your life that you want to share. Hey, we so often look at the bad stuff. If you have something great going on in your life, let us know about that too, okay? That's what this opportunity is for. And it's also an opportunity for anyone who's not yet a Christian. If you've come to the point where you're ready to give your life to Christ, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning. All you got to do is come and let us know. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, we have the phone numbers for Wes and for myself on there, and if you have a prayer request, you can call, a text rather, during this invitation song and let us know what your request is. And again, if there's someone out there who is not yet a Christian, you desire to become one, all you got to do is let us know and we will make that happen as soon as is possible for you. All you got to do is let us know, all right? It's a great opportunity for anyone to come and let us know what we can do for you. Let's stand together.